Mr. Olson, the nurse calls when she walks me into Grandpa's room. I walked all the way here, which was far and cold, but it's better than being home alone all day while Murphy fries chicken and Mom switches church from Epiphany to Lent. Even if it does smell like spinach and medicine, and the lady who sits by the front door always tries to hold my hand. You have a Sunday visitor, the nurse says, and turns Grandpa's wheelchair from the window toward me. He smiles sweetly while the birds he was watching keep flitting around behind his head like a Disney movie. His bed is perfectly made, with a tan blanket and flannel pillowcase and a throw pillow featuring a wood duck. Maybe they're trying to convince him he's up north at the cabin instead of in a nursing home. We told him about Dad, obviously, but we didn't know if he understood, so we told him a bunch more times. Then we stopped telling him, because it just seemed mean. Hi, Grandpa, I say. I'm your grandson, Justin, Larry's son. He nods politely. He lifts his hand up from his lap, then sets it back down. He shrugs a little. Grandpa, can I look at your pictures? The old ones of Dad? In the book? He blinks at me, which I decide means yes. I pull the photo album out of the top drawer, where it sits next to a row of socks under a sticker that says socks, which seems unnecessary. I sit on Grandpa's bed with the book on my lap. Dad labeled all the people for Grandpa when his mind started to wander off. I slide my finger across Dad's handwriting, blocky and wide, and realize he'll never write anything again. A grocery list, a birthday card, a letter to me at college. And Dad was always writing, because he couldn't keep thoughts in his head very long. He'd walk into a room and forget why he was there. He'd set alarms, but couldn't remember what to do when they went off. Once, he came home from the grocery store so mad because he couldn't remember one single thing he was supposed to get. So Mom went to the paper shop and got this really expensive stationery with his initials on it in curly writing, like a wedding invitation. And guess what? It worked. He used up the whole pack in a week. But how did Mom know to do that? I wipe my tears off with the back of my hand and start reading the names to Grandpa. He smiles, hearing them. I get to Dad's birth and narrate his life out loud. There's Larry as a baby. There he is at school. There he is playing hockey. He played defense, right, Grandpa? Grandpa nods. High school graduation. There he is in his uniform. I stare at Dad, smiling, clean cut, ready. I turn the page, and he's with Mom, holding baby Murphy. Dad's hair is longer. He's got a mustache. He's still smiling, but his eyes are different. I flip the page back and forth, back and forth. Grandpa watches me. There's only a couple years missing between them, but I guess that space holds a lot. I keep going. Murphy on a tricycle. Murphy holding me up like a trophy with my head flopped back. Murphy playing t-ball. Me in a baby swing. Me going to kindergarten. Murphy and me at the beach. Look, Grandpa. Look at you and that walleye. I turn the book around to show him. He's standing tall and straight like a pine tree next to Dad, holding a yellow spotted fish with both hands. The fish is probably 2 feet long, and its top fin is spiked up like a punk rocker. But Grandpa looks away, like either the dying fish or the dead sun is too painful. I turn the book back around and see a picture I never noticed before, of just Mom and Dad. It's a little blurry, and the colors are faded. They're watching something. Mom is maybe calling out to someone. Dad is smiling. And in the very far bottom left corner, they're holding hands. In one way, the words are true. Trolley, drunk, Vietnam, what did you expect? And in another way, they're not.